It's Columbia Morning at Newstalk 1400 KFRU, and I'm pleased to be able to welcome to the program by phone today the Speaker Pro Tem at the House of Representatives in Jefferson City. And he spoke recently to the Ways and Means Committee. He's Representative Elijah Haar. Representative, thank you for joining me. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Let's jump right into it, because what you were talking about when you were talking to the committee was I liked the word that was used in the Missouri Times. It was called a redesign. How do you characterize what your tax bill would do for taxes in this state?
You know, I think redesign is an excellent word. And what I told the committee is, I said, we basically sat down and said, if we were going to completely revamp Missouri's tax code into a 21st century tax code, what would we want it to look at? And through that design, we kind of came up with four basic pillars of the tax code. One part is the income tax, which we take from 5.9 to 5.0%. One part is the business tax. We take that from 6.25 to 5.0%. Those numbers are important for two reasons. One, they're the same. What we're telling people is, we don't care how you earn your money, we'll be taxed the same amount. So there's no gameplay or anything like that in order to avoid taxes. Just go out, earn the most money you can, and the state will take 5% off the top.
Mm-hmm.
The second reason that's important is because that would put us in the top 10 states in the country for lowest income tax and the top 10 states in the country for lowest business tax. And so it gives us another tool that we can travel around the country and convince people and businesses why they should relocate to Missouri.
What are the other two pillars then that you also presented?
So the third part has to do with an infrastructure portion. So right now in Missouri, we've got the 7th most state-funded roads in the country, but we've got the 47th, we're 47th in funding of them. And so what this would do is, it would take your license and tag fees, and it would update them for inflation. Those numbers were put into statute back in 1984. We would update them for inflation. That would generate about $2 billion over the next 10 years for the road fund. And so everybody wants to know now, how does that impact me? And I said, well, we've had Department of Revenue run the numbers. Updating your license fees, it's going to be about $1 a year for every 6 years that you renew your driver's license. For a traditional sedan, it's about $30 a year extra when you update your tags. And then we also asked Department of Revenue, for a $30,000 income earner, single parent, one child, how much would you save under the tax cuts? You'd save about $313. And so we figure this will save the average person somewhere in the ballpark of $275 or more dollars. The fourth component, or fourth pillar of the plan, then, is to do all this in a fiscally responsible manner. We've seen these other states that have tried to be too aggressive with tax cuts, and so we've married our tax cuts with some revenue generators. We would join the streamlined sales tax compact. That means that online retailers would be forced to collect taxes, just like brick and mortar stores in Missouri, putting them on the same level and bringing parity to that. That would generate anywhere from up to $200 million additional revenue for the state. We also changed the way that businesses calculate their tax their taxes owed. Right now, businesses can calculate in a variety of different ways, and what it leads to is out-of-state businesses that have a lower tax liability than businesses headquartered in Missouri. And so we would move to a single sales factor apportionment method. This is about 20 other states have done this in the past few years. That would generate some additional money to the state. We eliminate some loopholes and exemptions that are in the current tax code, with the idea being that we want to make this as net revenue neutral for the state budget as possible. And that way, we can provide broad-based tax reform or tax relief to our citizens and our businesses. We can do it in a fiscally responsible way, and we can fix our infrastructure problem in the state.
Representative Elijah Haar talking about the broad outlines and the four main points or pillars of what he is presenting in Jefferson City as a redesign of the tax bill and tax laws in this state. When you present this, it's a very aggressive plan. How heavy is that load when you take that to others and hear what they have to say in regard to what you've presented with them and what you've outlined with us?
So it's heavy in two ways. Number one, anything this big, bold, and ambitious is always going to be met with trepidation. It's a significant change to the plan, but also the size and scope of the bill. The current bill is about 430 pages long. The initial first draft that we prepared was over 800 pages long, because there's so many portions of the tax code that this would touch. And so that's a big part of it. We presented it to the House Ways and Means Committee last Monday. It was voted out of the committee 6-3. It was voted out of rules last Thursday 8-1. It will be on the floor of the Missouri House next week. You know, the Senate's got, they've got their own tax plan that's moving in the Senate. My sense is both plans have pretty good legs. They're going to probably come out of their respective bodies, go to the other side, and then my expectation is we end up in conference trying to drill down and see where we can get to.
So if you're putting a percent of success on this in May, end of the session, what's the likelihood that something like this or close to this would be passable?
You know, I've told people that I would probably put the likelihood of us putting something on the governor's desk somewhere in the ballpark of 40%. At the beginning of session, I would have said closer to 10%. As it has moved through the process, we've gotten a lot of support in the House, a lot of support from the business community, a lot of support from a lot of the people that want to see us build new infrastructure and update old infrastructure in the state. And so we've been able to put together a coalition, essentially, that's supporting this, that I think has moved this forward a lot faster and a lot with a lot more strength than I expected. But, you know, it's always tough. Big projects like this often take more than 1 year to do. Mm-hmm. This is the first real year we've been working on it. But like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic. The odds, I believe, on this plan have moved up significantly over the past few weeks.
Let me ask you this. Other than concern about Missouri becoming a state with diminished revenue so that services could not be provided, other than that as a opposition's point, what else have Democrats raised or others who say, I have concern about this because of what?
So the two parts of the plan, outside of obviously the concern about revenue, that have drawn the most concern is, one, in the initial draft of the plan, right now businesses in Missouri that file their taxes on time get a 2% discount.
Mm-hmm.
We had eliminated that in the original plan. A lot of small businesses in the state had expressed concerns that was going to cost them more money while they collected taxes for the state. In the substitute for the bill, we've brought the 2% back up to $1,000 a month. We believe that fixes the concerns for small businesses. You're still going to have the big box stores like Walmart for the world that are going to have to going to lose part of that discount. But that's one that we've had some concern about and we're still talking on. The second part had a little bit of concern. There's a program in Missouri that the circuit breaker rental or the circuit breaker program. This provides checks to elderly and disabled people to help them pay for their property taxes. When the program was instituted, it has grown to a point where we now give checks to elderly and disabled that rent their homes. And in my opinion, philosophically, if you're renting a house, you're not paying property taxes. It seems like that's something that you shouldn't be reimbursed for. You never should spend it. So we eliminate the renter's portion of circuit breaker within the tax bill.
Hmm.
Obviously, a lot of the Democrats and progressives have expressed significant concern about that. And so that also is an ongoing conversation in the bill.
I'd like to hit two or three things in the last minute or two that we have here. One is, I want to go back to, in your research and study, why was there ever the discount given for paying your taxes on time if you're a business?
So my understanding is that there was a grand bargain reached decades ago that the state made businesses their sales tax collectors in the state. And instead of having a government person at every store saying, here I need to buy, 5% or whatever it is, the businesses built that in where they would actually collect it and send it on to the state. And that's why it happened in Missouri. It happened around the country. Now, the only problem with that is that Missouri has the most generous discount in the country. When we move to 2% up to $1,000 a month, that's what Arkansas does. Some states do 1%. About 20 states give the businesses a discount for collecting revenue, but ours is at this point at least the most generous in the country.
And then another topic that I wanted to follow up on was the one about saying that in order to raise some revenue, and especially for infrastructure, you would do that on what we would pay for, like our renewing our driver's license, rather than increasing a gas tax. I read your comments, and we are moving away from that. Our vehicles are getting more efficient. We're going to have electric cars probably in the near future. So I get that. But at the same time, I think it's an interesting question to say, those who drive our roads, though, who may be out of state and aren't paying that particular increase in their renewal, how is there a way that we also will be able to recoup that? I guess the existing gas tax one way, but is there another way that you have thought through this?
Well, and you're right. The existing gas tax captures some of that revenue as it moves through. The problem is it's a declining source of revenue, and even if we were to up that in 10 years, that revenue source would just continue to decline. The only way to really capture 100% capture that pass through income is to move to a toll road type of system. And that's kind of been a non-starter at this point so far from a variety of different perspectives.
I'll let you go after asking one more thing. You mentioned the streamlined sales tax agreement. I wasn't sure exactly what that was. I had read some about it, but as you said, that would include taxing online purchases. Is there a chance that that could pass alone this year and not a part of a broader tax package?
I would say that's unlikely. We have that bill as a standalone bill has been proposed multiple different times. It's never gotten the votes to pass because it's perceived by some as either the creation of or the increase of a tax. And so I think the only way that ever passes is as a part of a larger tax reform package.
Sir, I appreciate your time today. Very educational for us. Representative Elijah Haar, who is the Speaker pro tem and also has been presenting the tax package that we are able to talk about. Perhaps we'll have a chance to talk again as this continues to move. Thank you very much for your time today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.